Welcome to Connections with BCD Travel, an ongoing conversation about the modern-day travel program, the impact of technology, and how travel buyers can take control and drive change. What are we waiting for? Let's start connecting.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Connections with BCD Travel. I'm Miriam Moscovich, and I lead BCD's research and partnerships team. We're celebrating International Women's Day on this episode, so you're tuning in for a great session. But before we get into today's details, a quick reminder that we'd love receiving your feedback. So go to bcdtravel.com/podcast to connect with us. So, like I said, we're celebrating International Women's Day on this episode, and you might have noticed that I'm missing my normal co-host, Chad. Don't worry, he'll be back soon, but I'm excited to have a voice you might recognize as my co-host today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Simone Gray. If you listen to the Connections podcast, you might remember me from the Marketplace matchmaking episode we published a few weeks ago.
Simone, it's great having you. I love hosting with you. And for all of our listeners out there, Simone and I actually work together on the same team. So having her here is extra special for me.
Well, it's special for me too. Not only do I get to try my hand or voice, I should say, at podcasting, but we're also talking about a topic that's important to me with two guests I'm excited to hear from.
First, we have Hazel Smith, a supplier relations director at BCD, who is also on our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Council.
And we're also joined by Carolyn Pearson, CEO of our marketplace partner, Maiden Voyage.
I think this episode is going to be unique, Simone, not only because you're here, but we're going to be tackling topics from a few different angles.
Well, I say we get to it.
International Women's Day has its roots in labor movements dating back to the early 1900s and gives focus to issues such as gender, equality, violence, and abuse against women. What's great about International Women's Day is that the United Nations observes the holiday every year, and the UN and many other organizations mark this day in unique ways. One of the global themes this year is Inspire Inclusion. Hazel, I want to start with you. You're part of BCD's Diversity and Inclusion Council. As a professional in business travel, what does Inspire Inclusion mean to you and to BCD as a whole?
Well, BCD has done some really strong work in the DE&I space. So in early 2023, we built on our long-standing commitment to diversity and inclusion. And as an organization, added a focus on equity into the mix. And it's a courageous thing for an organization of this size and global profile to admit that there are opportunities to do better in creating more access and opportunities for everyone across our many different diversity dimensions. But in context with our specific topic today, having a focus on growing the representation of women in senior level positions and working to close gender pay gaps that may exist, they're two great examples of how we're moving forward. And to answer your question, inspiring inclusion means respect and fairness for all members of the BCD family. It means empowerment to develop and grow, and it means a commitment to make a positive impact on people's lives inside and outside of the workplace. And personally, I see DE&I as a legacy. We should all be invested in making positive changes for the women that will come after us. So the ones graduating from university this summer, starting apprenticeships this week, the ones creating their first ever LinkedIn profile right now. Their workplace will be very different to ours. And as leaders, we can't fail to be excited and inspired by that.
And Carolyn, I know you feel quite passionate about this topic too. You and the Maiden Voyage team have been helping travel managers and travel programs ensure they're optimized for inclusion, especially when it comes to women travelers. Tell us more about that.
That's right, Simone. At Maiden Voyage, we teach organizations and employees to bring DE&I into their travel risk management practices through training and education. Personally, I encounter people regularly who move me when they're sharing how they felt excluded or unsafe when on a business trip, and that can be heartbreaking.
You know, a big aspect of this conversation for me is ensuring that we look at this topic holistically. It's more than just saying you need to do XYZ when you travel, because while that's really important, we also need to inspire inclusion by inspiring change globally.
Well, let's talk about how times have changed for women in business travel. Carolyn, can you quickly take us through the last few decades?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, thankfully, women have progressed from being those that book business travel for others to being those that undertake it as a key part of their roles. But we really have seen minimum attempts by the industry to make business travel more welcoming for women. I mean, of course, we've seen women-only hotel floors, or we've seen women-only taxi services. But in reality, we've still got a long way to go. Simple allyship can make a massive difference. For example, not too long ago, I was out for dinner with some industry partners in New York City. The group was predominantly men, and we all ordered ride shares to get back to our accommodations. But unfortunately, mine was the last one to arrive, and I was left stood outside the restaurant late at night feeling really, really vulnerable.
Hazel, when it comes to the company's duty of care program, what's your opinion on how travel managers can make sure they're thinking of things accurately?
They must think about women holistically, because as you said before, it's more than just personal safety, and it's part of the broad duty of care theme. So, of course, there's the personal safety pillar, but then there are the health needs that women face while we're on the road. And for global programs, there are vast differences in what women travelers might encounter based on local culture, for example, or even geographic region.
Those are really great points, Hazel. It is important that individuals are empowered to do their own risk assessment based on their own personal needs and to be able to communicate them without fear of judgment or discrimination. Creating a culture of safe, open communication means that women won't feel that they need to compromise their personal safety in order to comply with the travel policy. And also, uniquely, women are experiencing life events such as pregnancy or breastfeeding or menopause or perhaps caring for an aging parent. And when you marry that with navigating geographically diverse cultures, these sometimes require some pre-travel research when it comes to attitudes towards women, such as the more subtle things to consider, like appropriate clothing or how to greet somebody in a business setting. I certainly remember when I was working in the Netherlands for a number of years, I was caught out by the greeting of three kisses, and I never knew which side of the cheek to start on, and inevitably it was the wrong one, and that just got really embarrassing.
I have accidentally kissed a colleague on the lips, miscalculating how many kisses I'm supposed to receive and deliver.
So. Oh, boy.
It wasn't intentional.
So let's put this conversation into context for our listeners. What do travel managers need to know when it comes to women in business travel today?
Well, you know, my tips would center around, that being aware of gender bias. So in preparation for this call, I Googled, what do women business travelers value? And was bombarded with a load of patronizing, useless tips. So how to pack an appropriate capsule wardrobe, you know, wash bag essentials I can't live without. Seriously, this is not our first rodeo. We all want to look good, feel confident, and do a professional job when we travel. Travel managers should be picking suppliers and taking a holistic approach to travel procurement that just enables and encourages that. And then definitely health, mental and physical. There are some fantastic hotel brands out there now, to give you an example, that are all about enabling travelers to be sure that the training plan or the diet isn't put on hold Tuesday to Thursday this week just because you happen to be away from home. So it's about making travel a positive, healthy experience that fits in with your wellness goals. So if you engage with those hotel suppliers, they are just a massive asset. And finally, I would definitely say be mindful that colleagues, they might have many plates spinning outside of work and back at home. So in my case, I'm 100% committed and focused on what I need to achieve from any business trip. When I've had the flexibility to plan well and can check in regularly. So I've got some peace of mind. I just know that everything back at home is running as it should. Caroline, I'd be really interested to hear what you'd add to that.
Yeah, sure. I think the main thing is that don't make decisions on behalf of women. What I mean by that is don't decide where women can and cannot travel, but instead point them at the right resources so that they can make those decisions themselves. And then ensure that your travel program's got an efficient and effective reporting program, so that if things go wrong, you can take corrective action. Knowing what to do if there's a crisis on the road is really vital, because the sad truth is that in many areas, women aren't safe to report a serious incident in the same way that we might do at home, for example. And then finally, just ensure that you've got clearly defined support systems and resources in place for each step of the journey. So pre-trip planning, on-trip duty of care, And again, that post-trip feedback and follow-up where needed.
And you have some opinions about policy, right, Carolyn?
I do, absolutely. I'm diametrically opposed to incorporating the complexities of DE&I into a single travel policy. That doesn't benefit anybody. And as Hazel has said, we need a holistic and a personalized approach to duty of care.
Okay. Well, do you have any thoughts on what should be put into a company's travel risk management policy in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, certainly. Well, don't ask, are you pregnant? Are you menopausal or LGBTQ+? But do ask, what do you need? Focus on the solution and not the why. And then think about that privacy versus disclosure. We all have good intent, but we have to respect the privacy laws. Combine the power of your multiple partners, for example, Crisis 24 or International SOS or Maiden Voyage, with your own travel risk management team. We all play together really well to keep your people safe and utilize the resources that you've already got at hand.
Carolyn, as I scroll through social media, I often see lists, the safest cities for women, the most dangerous, etc. Should we be paying attention to these?
Oh, yes, Simone, I see those lists all the time. And this data is really interesting, but it's vital for travel managers to understand that it will always be different per person. Unthinkable situations can happen anywhere, even in the safest of destinations. And that's why it's essential to educate your travelers on risk mitigation and response, what to do if something goes wrong.
And Hazel, as Miriam said, one of the global themes for this year's International Women's Day is inspire inclusion. So what advice do you have for an ally?
Oh, I love this question, because equity for women can't only be talked about by women. So it's simple things like being an active bystander, thinking about more than just yourself, that would go a long way. Changing how we talk to our colleagues can help too. So to give you an example, rather than do you need me to do XYZ on our trip, it should be what can I do to help you on our trip? And that will go a long way, especially for those travelers who might feel uneasy or like they're being difficult when they're asking for help. And this also comes down to weaving a cultural shift into your entire organization. And that starts by just encouraging inclusive behaviour.
You know, I think we could even extend this, Hazel, to creating inclusive events too. I've got my own set of magic questions. And one of those is, we value diversity. What do you need from us to feel included in this event?
You know, I think that's a great point, right? Kind of painting a very realistic picture of what might happen. So let's just say, paint a scenario for me here. We have a traveler, a woman traveler, and she does say, I need some assistance. What types of assistance or actions do you typically see a travel program being able to take to accommodate some of the needs that women might have uniquely traveling around the world? Can you paint some examples?
Yeah, of course. So again, when you're asking people what they want, you've got to be open to the things that they might tell you. And it could be something off-piste, or it could just be, I need a really quiet room. I don't need to be staying with that colleague. I want to go to that destination, but I need a little bit more information about it to ensure my safety. Or as Hazel mentioned earlier, I've got a fitness program that I want to continue, but I know I'm traveling to a country where women are only allowed to use the gym between this time and this time. And okay, we've got meetings planned at that time. So how can I maintain my fitness schedule, but still fit in with the culture that I'm traveling to?
And what about, you know, milestone events that women typically or may have, right? Like pregnancy or menopause or nursing. How do those present themselves in a business travel environment to women travelers?
Yeah, so there are certain things that might be off limits. For example, certain travel vaccinations, or it may be that somebody's breastfeeding and they're not able to have the yellow fever vaccination. There's a Zika virus. And then, you know, the whole host of symptoms which come with menopause. So again, asking the question rather than deciding what you think those people need. And one of the things that I've seen that might be a bit radical, but actually some organizations have got a no travel, no justification process whereby somebody just says or is allowed to say, I can't take that trip. Because actually early disclosure might be a problem for somebody, or they might have a history of miscarriage and therefore, you know, it's a very delicate situation, or they could be going through IVF. There's so many different scenarios.
You know, you touched on, Carolyn, around asking women what they want rather than making assumptions. And I would assume that that comes into play Very much so when you're working on accommodating women who are coming from a culture different from where you are, right? So this applies across the board, not just, you know, women traveling from west to east, but women traveling from east to west, right? There's differences and they all seek to be accommodated.
You're absolutely right, Miriam. You know, culture is global, it's international, it's in any direction that you're traveling to, you could be a cultural minority. And even in parts of Europe, you know, where countries have banned the headscarf, that could be problematic, for example, for women traveling from the Middle East to parts of Europe. We've seen an uprising in, you know, sort of racial hatred, and that could, you know, be very much targeted at women based on how they're dressed.
It's so inspiring to hear you both talk. For me, this topic isn't just that woman thing again, and inclusion isn't just a buzz topic. It's a real life thing, and it's important from every angle, the traveler, the ally, the travel management company, and the suppliers.
Carolyn, I do want to make sure our listeners know how to engage with Maiden Voyage if they want to dive deeper into this topic or anything that Maiden Voyage can do for their program.
They can find us in the BCD marketplace or, of course, come to our website, www.maiden-voyage.com. But if you'd love to meet us in person, then come and see us at the Business Travel Show in London on the 19th and 20th of June.
Carolyn, if somebody does get in touch with Maiden Voyage, what are the types of things that you would do for a travel program?
One of my favorite things that we do for the travel programs is we work with organizations to actually teach them how to create an inclusive travel program. Mm-hmm. So that starts with a training program. And then, of course, we look at what resources they've got internally, which travel management company they're working with, hopefully BCD, and which travel risk management company they're working with. And then we map out the processes to make their travel program really inclusive based on millions of different characteristics.
And what's the call to action that normally occurs? Is there a problem they're solving for? Or is it just the progression of general DE&I programs at the enterprise?
Well, it's a mixture. Sometimes organizations are massively investing in DE&I and therefore they want to filter that down into the travel program. But sometimes, sadly, they have had an incident and then they want to rectify that or make sure that it doesn't happen again.
And the work that you do, does it apply to populations beyond just women travelers, right? Does it transcend across a variety of different stakeholder or ally groups?
Totally. So we look at things like LGBTQ travelers, we look at cultural minorities, we look at a whole range of things around disability, neurodiversity, even male travelers.
Okay, you two, last question. In just a sentence or two, what do you want our listeners to think about when it comes to women in business travel? Hazel, you first.
Well, we're an asset. We're committed to excellence. We're subject matter experts. I think you can hear I'm speaking from the heart here because I'm thinking about all the brilliant women I work with at BCD and across our supplier network. We're fantastic people, professionally and personally. So value that. Value that every day, not just on International Women's Day.
You may never know the pressure or life events that your women are experiencing, whilst at the same time having to navigate the unique challenges that they're facing when travelling around the world. What's the one thing that you can do, share, or ask that will enable them to be their best selves and to really thrive while they represent your company around the globe?
Well, I think we have two things to celebrate on this episode, International Women's Day and the fact that you just successfully hosted your first podcast, Simone.
No, thanks. It was fun. And covering this topic was really exciting for me because I think that as a woman, I can just relate to a lot of the things that we're talking about. And I think it's just important that we have these conversations around how we can best support each other and be allies.
Have an opinion on what we talked about today? Head to bcitytravel.com/podcast to give us feedback and be sure to download and review the Connections podcast wherever you are listening.
Thank you for connecting with us. BCD Travel helps companies travel smart and achieve more. We drive program adoption, cost savings, and talent retention through digital experiences that simplify business travel. Learn more about the topics you heard on this episode by visiting bcdtravel.com/podcast.